Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm your hostess of today's powerful, silent-switching-filled podcast, Amelia Dalton. And before we get into our analogathon today, we have some late-breaking news. It was announced earlier this week that Intel is indeed buying Altera for the paltry sum of $16.7 billion. The deal has been brokered, the ink is dry, the press releases have been sent, and all I can say is I told you so. Long live the king. But what now? What about the innovation that's been taking place at Altera for the past couple decades? What about the hardworking teams of engineers? As we all know too well, any company, big or small, is a collective, a tribe. And what happens when that tribe is taken over by another, with a big price tag or not? And most importantly, the innovation in their eyes and in their souls. Well, in this case, the case of Altera and Intel, we can only wait and see. To put it all in perspective, I would strongly suggest that you check out Kevin Morris's recent article entitled Selling the Soul of Innovation, Greed Trumps Vision in Technology Mergers. And tell me what you think. What do you think will happen to Altera's technology? Will it grow stronger? Will their tribe stay the same? I can hardly think so, but I'm not willing to say I told you so just yet. If you want to check out this article, you can head on over to the front page of eejournal.com or by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, on a much happier note, let's jump into the power end of the pool and talk to Leonard Stargardt from Linear Technology about silent switching, why you need it, what it can do for you, and what it's all about. Hi, Leonard. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
So here at Linear Technology, you are known as the silent switcher guru. Now, for my audience who may not know, what is silent switching?
Let's start at the beginning to give you a big overview of what the whole field sort of entails.
Let's do that.
All modern technologies pretty much powered by electricity, except esoteric examples, all your modern gadgets, all your car innards, a lot of the various technology that's made modern times is powered by electricity. So where does electricity come from? Most power is generated through fossil fuel or nuclear power, or now it's becoming very popular to do solar power or wind power. And a lot of the time when you're generating so much electrical energy, it has to come from the power plant at hundreds of thousands of volts, maybe even a megavolt if you're talking about the high tension lines running across the United States. And the reason it has to be so high voltage is otherwise the power lines would melt if you tried to use lower voltages. So let's go down a little bit further. So these high power lines run all across the US, and once they come close to their point of use, they generally use large transformers that you'll see in substations or hanging off of the power poles next to your house. And they'll eventually convert the electricity down to 120 volts if you're in the United States, or 240 volts if you're in Europe. And a lot of your household appliances, your lights, your refrigerators, your TVs, and so on, feed off of that.
Yeah.
And since technology has really exploded in the last 50 years, a lot of the power is now being used at much lower voltages. Maybe a volt or two is what a microprocessor uses from Intel or from ARM, for example. And because these microprocessors are so fine line, the physics demands that you can't use more than a volt or two.
Right.
And because you have to get from the 120 volts down to 1 volt, there's a kind of circuit called the switching regulator that's the analog of a transformer that you see outside that gets you from the 120 volts down to the 1 volt or 2 volts that gets used for information processing like a microprocessor. So these circuits are absolutely necessary for almost any kind of modern tech that you have. So let's have a look at it in terms of what a person owns. So let's say a laptop. A laptop's got a battery in it that might be 3 lithium-ion batteries, which comes out to 12 or 13 volts. And then inside the laptop, a typical design these days would have 15 different voltages. these voltages would be powering the microprocessor. They would be powering the LED backlight on the screen, maybe at 15 volts. There is USB at 5 volts, and the list goes on. So one way we like to look at it at LTC is a typical person owns probably several hundred power converters. You've got many in your laptop, you've got tons in your TV. Almost any piece of electronics is full of these things. And electricity is sort of the lifeblood of all electronics. That's where all the energy comes from. So as far as the evolution of technology, probably a primary theme that happens, that's been happening over the last half century, is miniaturization. Miniaturization is sort of destiny for technology, since getting more capability to be practical, you have to shrink things. A computer may have been a building 40 years ago, but now you can get one in the palm of your hand.
Right.
And to get everything to work well, they all have to be fed by electricity. And to get the electricity conversion to be compact and fit within the envelope of the device, generally the switching regulators all have to shrink. And that's where we're starting to get closer to what the point of silent switcher is. So to make a switcher smaller, to make it more efficient, are the general goals, because everything's got to fit into a smaller case and at the same time have a lot more different voltages available that are specialized for different functionality. Maybe a biological comparison we can make is the mitochondria in a cell is what a switcher is in an electronic system.
Okay.
I don't know how well that works with our audience, but let's try
great.
That one. So we're making mitochondria. And it's maybe not the most popular part of the cell, but it sure is important. To make it as small as we can, physics basically tells us that we have to switch faster and have much quicker switching edges. And so on the performance side, that gives you better efficiency, gives you smaller size, but on the downside, it gives you a lot of radiated and conducted noise coming out of the chip. And that's a big enemy of electronic systems. So the switchers that are coming on the market recently are so fast that they're almost moving as quickly as an RF power amplifier. But as opposed to a power RF amplifier, we're not allowed to transmit anything. We have to stay quiet while we switch so quickly.
Right.
So the case of silent switcher is LTC's been developing this technology for some time. And the key is that we shape and mirror magnetic fields that are part of the switching action of a switching regulator in a way that they cancel to a substantial degree.
Hmm.
And that's the manner in which we try to get the noise as far down as we can, with the key being is that we give a customer a better trade-off. Because usually a customer has a choice between going faster or being more noisy.
Right.
So what we'd really like to do is we give them a better trade-off. That's sort of the key. And to do that, there's a lot of technologies. One is the IC packaging technologies, where we have to be really conscientious of what goes in. We have to do some modeling to make sure the magnetic fields come out correctly. We have to control our switching rates. And there's a variety of various techniques. And all these techniques have been around where the customer of a switcher would have to implement them on a PCB, but it becomes very complicated. So we'd like to take some of that problem away from the customer having to suffer with it and give them a solution that's much easier to use.
So, Leonard, what kind of applications are perfect for silent switchers, and what kind of engineers do you think care the most about silent switching?
LTC services a fairly wide market. One of the big portions is typically called industrial, and another really big portion is automotive.
Okay.
So let's look at a car, because that's a good example in general for this sort of issue. In a car, you've got a car battery and an alternator that typically run 12 to 16 volts, depending on if the car is running or not. And that electrical voltage gets spread all around the car through a number of wires. And modern cars, especially in the recent decade or two, have a lot of electronics boxes. There may be microprocessors numbering in the hundreds in a typical car, doing many, many functions. Some are engine control. Some functions might be lights, some functions might be various GPS functions, smart mirrors. The list goes on and on about how many pieces of electronics are in a modern car.
Right.
And each of these boxes needs to consume energy from the 12-volt bus that's running around the car. And typically, the boxes all have microprocessors or sensors or something that typically consumes power at 1 volt up to 5 volts. And the electrical power on the car can typically have spikes up to 20 or 30 volts. So the switching regulator has to handle inputs anywhere from 3 volts to 40 volts and survive and condition that power in a way where a microprocessor can use it without any problems. And in this case, all these boxes in a car, there's a huge drive to get them to be smaller so more processing power can be packed in them. And one really good example is now there's a lot of autonomous driving pieces that are being included in cars. For example, the early ones are for safety, for example, autonomous braking or forward-looking radars or cameras that look out and hit the brakes for you if you're getting too close to a car. All these boxes need a lot of processing power and they're spread very far from the car battery. And if the switching regulators within these boxes emit a lot of energy, these wires make very good antennas that transmit either in a way that interferes with the AM radio in the car or the FM radio, or violate various government regulations about not emitting too much radio energy and interfering with cellular communications, for example. So to give the customer a better trade-off, the silent switcher tech reshapes the magnetic fields that are typically emanated from switchers in a way that makes the far field much lower. And what this lets the customer do is they can focus a lot more on designing the system rather than struggling with a power supply.
So, Leonard, where do you see the future of silent switching go?
So the future of silent switcher is more or less giving the customer what they truly want. In the past, the customers have been using solutions where a lot of customer know-how is required and where a lot of experimentation and PC board spins were required to get the performance to be good enough to pass all the regulations. Our goal is to give a customer an IC that's much more easy to use and delivers what they're looking for without the complexity of having to become an RF engineer, essentially.
That's good.
So the future is probably in that direction, where the current products we have are still standalone ICs where the customer has to do some PCB layout and look at all the component spacings and placement and still have to be very careful with them. So in the future, we'd like to move this technology into modules as much as we can so the customer can buy essentially a black box and all his problems are solved for him. I mean, truly, in the land of LDOs and linear regulators, the problem has been solved for a long time. They can buy a linear regulator, put it on the board, and it just works. In the world of switchers, it's been much more complicated because there is a lot of RF radiation coming from them. So we'd like to make switchers that work as well as LDOs, but they're efficient.
All right, Leonard, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, if you had to pick your last meal on the planet, there's just one more meal you can have before you kick it, what would it be?
That's a good question. I would have to say sushi in Japan.
Nice. Good choice. Any sushi in particular? Is it a roll or is it a nigiri? Where are you heading?
Sushi has been quite popular around the United States, but boy, I've had the chance to go to Japan and visit a lot of the automotive customers that Linear has. And they really are the inventors of it.
Yes, they are.
You can tell.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for bringing silent switching technology to Fish Fry, Leonard.
Thanks very much for having us.
If you want any further information about silent switching, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can check out our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus as well. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can also subscribe to that EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, as always, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 5th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.